how many people remember back in Desert Storm era, remember that? Desert Shield turns to Desert Storm. Talking with Jim Marrs, our guest, M-A-R-R-S. Folks, visit jimmarrs.com. But visit his Amazon page for many, many books. And as I said earlier, folks, this man weaves a lot of historical facts and breaks a lot of history, revised history. I mean, really, as an Jim Marrs is an investigative journalist, an award-winning one at that, New York Times bestsellers, but he really documents, and it's interesting because I've seen some people say, you know, I wonder, in fact, they sent emails asking, I wonder how his books are footnoted. Pages upon pages upon pages upon pages of footnotes that document the historical aspects of what we're talking about this evening. But it's interesting because and I remember this clearly, back during Desert Storm, Desert Shield, of course, you had the daughter of the ambassador testifying about the incubators, the children incubators. That was completely fabricated. But what got me, and this is kind of what got me thinking about this after I read Our Occulted History by Jim Marrs, he notes that once Baghdad was in American hands, this is going back to the first Desert Storm back in April of 2003, looters had taken at least 50,000 priceless artifacts and tablets from the Iraqi National Museum. And he gets into great detail. And despite prior attempts, he writes, to alert American military officers of the danger of losing 7,000-year-old artifacts, American authorities failed to prevent the wholesale looting of humankind's most ancient treasures. And when you look at these little facts and this agenda, you have to ask yourself, what was there? And we're getting into that, and we're talking about that now with our guest, Jim Marrs. Portions of this broadcast brought to you, again, by Minuteman Stove, MinutemanStove.com. And also American Survival Wholesale, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, where we buy our Thrive brand long-term storable food. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. And we cook it on our Minuteman stove, which, by the way, did survive. And I can't say too much for the back end of my vehicle, but you talk about holding up under some rough conditions. That stove, wow, it made in America by Americans. And I got to say, a good product, a great product, as a matter of fact. Jim Marrs, thanks for holding on, and really appreciate you getting into detail about this. Go ahead and continue.
Yeah, it is a fascinating story, and you pretty well laid the groundwork. I would add that there were museum directors from around the world who, prior to our invasion of Iraq, went to the Pentagon and said, look, you know, this is the cradle of civilization. This is the earliest known civilization. I know way early on in grade school or whatever, I was kind of taught that the first great civilization was the Egyptian civilization, but that's not true, folks. The Egyptian civilization was simply a hand-me-down from the earlier Sumerian civilization in Sumer, S-U-M-E-R. Okay, so all of this information has been handed down bits and pieces, a lot of it secretly, because every king, every new priest, every new religious leader, and I'm not talking about true religion, I'm just talking about people who are in charge, they don't want people knowing these things. So it's all been hidden from us, and this information has been passed along very secretly through what has come to be known as the underground stream of knowledge. So they were beginning to, as Doug said, find amazing new discoveries in Iraq, and they would be sent, of course, to the Iraqi National Museum, and they would not yet be cataloged or displayed. So where would they be? They would be in the basement, okay, being stored away, being prepared, and being cataloged. And so when we invaded, we go straight to Baghdad. The oil industry is protected with tanks and troops. The museum, which museum directors around the world had urged the Pentagon to please preserve this, and were assured we were, but we didn't. In fact, when the rioting started, they sent in a contingent of U.S. soldiers who fired over their heads, kind of broke them up, okay, and then got orders to pull out. And they did. And the looters came back. The looters were a hired mob. They were there. There were others. I've seen other accounts where thousands of Iraqis crowded towards the museum and were shouting, "Leave it alone. Don't do that. That's our heritage." And yet looters broke in and as Doug said, took tens of thousands of pieces. Now, many of those have since been recovered because, as you might imagine, you know, Joe Blow looter grabs something and within a week he's at the flea market trying to sell it, you know. So we've gotten a lot of this back. But here's what Marine Colonel Matthew Bogdanos, who was deputy director of the Joint Interagency Coordination Group that investigated the looting of the Iraqi National Museum for General Tommy Franks, here's what he wrote. The basement is what we've been calling the inside job. And I will say it forever like a mantra. It is inconceivable to me that the basement was breached and the items stolen without an intimate knowledge of the museum. From there, about 10,000 pieces were taken. We've only recovered approximately 650. Okay. Now let me add to that the fact that they found glass cutters in the museum that are not commercially available in Iraq. They also found that the people who went into the basement bypassed very expensive looking fakes. Okay, they found that some of the rooms were unlocked and that some of the guards who were supposed to be on the duty had inexplicably either called in sick or just didn't show up. People, this was an operation. This was an operation to go in there and take these ancient artifacts out of the Iraqi National Museum. Why would they want to do that? Because what I've just explained to you about the ancient technology. So I feel like they are trying to get future technology from the past. It's a very incredible story, right, Doug?
You know, Jim, we've had L.A. Marzulli on. We've had Steve Quayle on, of course. We luminaries in terms of this ancient history. And what you just said there is key. I mean, obviously that there's different opinions, different perspectives about different issues, but there's this common thread. What you just said, yes, absolutely. And there it is. I mean, perfectly said, perfectly stated. Okay. So where are we at with this then? I mean,
okay. So who wants all this information? And are we using it, or is it being kept from us? Well, now we get into the whole question. In fact, this is what prompted me was after the success of Crossfire, my book about the Kennedy assassination, and I ask about, well, you know, what's the real truth about UFOs? And then we realize that there really are UFOs, there really are beings out there. Then that led to the big question about, well, I'll put it this way, Doug, in the stereotypic view, when the UFO lands and a little alien gets out, what does he say?
Go,
take me to your leader.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Take me to your leader. Well, all right, then that begs the question. Who is our leader? Who speaks for Earth?
Well, don't we have, and that's a great question, don't we have somebody appointed or named at the UN for, you know, this?
No, not really.
Okay.
We have a hodgepodge of nations with their leaders. I don't think anybody would say Putin speaks for Earth. I don't think anybody would say Obama speaks for Earth. In fact, I know a whole lot of people that think he doesn't even speak for the United States.
That's true.
Right?
Very true.
And so until we can get our act together and we can do have someone who could speak for Earth, I think that's one of the major reasons why that somebody hadn't landed before now and said, okay, we come in peace. We want to be your friends and neighbors, you know. So, because who are you going to deal with?
Well, that's true. Yeah, it was my understanding, Jim, and I don't know this. I mean, I didn't spend a lot of time researching this aspect of it. I thought there was somebody at the UN appointed to deal with, alien visitors and that kind of stuff. But without respect to that, I mean, again, Jim, this to me is what we're talking about here. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I look at this as being part of this grand deception that we're about to, fall into.
No, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
And this is why I called it hidden history, occulted history. Well, my book, Occulted History, by the way, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea. When I use the term occulted, this is not a book about witches or vampires or that deals with the devil. I use the term occulted in the astronomical sense. When the moon eclipses the sun, that's called an occultation. Okay, it occults the sun, which simply means it hides the sun or masks the sun. So when I use the term our occulted history, I'm telling you history that has been hidden from us.
Exactly. And folks, understand that. The true meaning of the word occulted, you're right, is hidden from view. And you're exactly correct. And that's... I'm glad you pointed that out because, I never really gave that a thought. I just read it as that, the title of the book, Our Occulted History, meaning our hidden history. But thanks for pointing that out. I guess
too many people though think that if you mention the occult that, you're talking about seances or some kind of devil dealing or whatever. And while I'm at it, let's look at the definition of conspiracy. That's been totally twisted. I have a 1940s dictionary. And it gives the definition of conspiracy, a secret plan. Okay. That's kind of a neutral definition, isn't it, Doug? That could be anything.
Yeah.
If I plan a surprise birthday party for you, it's a secret plan. It's a conspiracy. But it's not bad, right? I might also point out, in fact, that in the business world, if you have a business, you better have a business plan, okay? And you don't tell that business plan to your competitors, do you? No, sir.
No, that's if you
secret,
want to stay in business.
Okay, so you have a secret plan. So that's a conspiracy, but it's not bad. Okay? And yet today, and this goes back to, I can trace it back to a late 1960s memo that went out from the psychological division of the CIA to all of their assets around the world. That means their agents and their agencies and their offices, but it also means people in the media, people in politics, people in Hollywood who have connections and are working with the CIA. It doesn't mean they're on the payroll. Doesn't mean that they're a registered employee. It just means they're assets, people who are in contact with the CIA. And they all got this. And the memo basically said that there's too many people around the world questioning the Kennedy assassination, and some people are even implicating Lyndon Johnson, and they're also implicating our agency, the CIA, and this is bad for us, and we need to start counteracting that. So when somebody tries to question or raise up contrary information to the story that the Warren Commission put out, you need to say that's conspiracy theory, and they're just conspiracy theorists. And that's when it entered our lexicon and became basically, now you can read a modern dictionary and it will say an evil plan, you know, to distract someone from the truth or something like that. Okay? They completely changed subtly the meaning of the term, to where now if you try to say, well, he's just a conspiracy theorist, then that's a negative connotation, and that's a slur to his character, isn't it?
It's a pejorative term, and you know what, Jim? That's why I'm so really, I get angry sometimes when people try to use our language against us, so many words have been redefined. Even for example, the gay versus homosexual. You know, really, I mean, that's just one clear cut example. But yeah. You talk about conspiracy, you talk about occulted, and folks, there's this intellectual attack on our intellectual properties today. And I think that, again, this is all by design, that the Tavistockian type of influence over our language, and then being
I'm glad you said that, Doug, because I was getting ready to pop off too and say, this didn't just happen. This is a plan, a long-standing plan to alter the face of the United States, both politically and socially and spiritually. One of the ways you do that is by attacking the language.
That's right. That's right. And isn't it funny? Well, not funny, but isn't it ironic in a sense that, for example, Twitter, you know, as a medium limiting conversation or messages to 140 characters, to deliberately dumb down our population, which has already suffered an immense blow to the intellect. And I can see this in some of the emails I get. Trust me,
I can imagine.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But yeah. So Jim, I mean, you're right on the money with this. But and again, folks, I'm looking at this from a view from Mars, which the view from Mars is pretty enjoyable when you look at our occulted history and what really has been hidden from us deliberately by design. So, man, continue, brother. You're on a roll here.
Yeah. Well, I call it the view from Mars. I picture myself in orbit, okay, around the Earth and watching everything that goes on. And when you back off and shed the emotional and personal involvement in issues, things become a lot more clear. One example right now is there's obviously elements within the United States government, and particularly, well, and it transcends parties, but mostly in the Republican Party, they seem like they're intent on getting us into a war with Russia, of all places. Okay, and of course they twist things around, and there's all this bellicose talk and everything else. Well, I back off and I just look at it from as objective a standpoint as I can, and here's what I see. First off, you cannot trust anything a politician says. All right, because, and this is not a judgment call, this is just the truth. No one in this country today can get elected to office by telling the truth. That's very unfortunate, but that's the way it is. You tell the truth, you're not going to get elected. So they all have to lie. My joke is that the surefire way of telling if a politician is lying to you, if his or her mouth is moving. Okay? And unfortunately, that's the way it is. So we're hearing all this bellicose talk against Russia, but then I'll back off and I'll look at it. Okay, when communism fell, largely under its own weight, we didn't attack Russia. We didn't drop a bomb on them. We didn't force them to do anything. They just finally said, hey, this socialism program is not working. And so they shed themselves from communism. And at that point, Where was the Russian military? They were occupying Eastern Europe, as they had since 1945, and as they had all through the Cold War. There were Russian troops in the Baltic states, in Poland, in the Czech Republic, in Bulgaria, Yugoslavia. Okay, now, they said, under Gorbachev, they said, well, look, why don't we just call a halt to this Cold War, and let's just take our marbles, go home, we'll leave everything the way it is, and we will pull out, we will leave Eastern Europe, if you will guarantee that you won't expand NATO. And we said, okay, we agreed to that. So what happened? They voluntarily pulled the Russian military out of Eastern Europe. We didn't chase them out. We didn't fight them out. We didn't force them out. They voluntarily pulled back and said, okay, that's it. And what have we done? We've increased NATO. We are now ringing Russia with missiles. All right.
Yes.
We've got NATO now in the Baltics. We've got NATO in Poland. All right. And we created this hoorah in the Ukraine. The Ukraine's always been volatile, but it's also always been a part of Russia. Well, we put in people to stir it all up and say, we want to break away. And Russia says, no, wait a minute, you can't do that. And when they say that, then we point to that and say, they're the bad guys. Let me give you the exact same analogy. What if the Russians had sent agents into Texas and stirred up trouble among some of the more radical Texans and said, let's pull out of the United States Union and we'll go back to being the Republic of Texas? And Doug, I gotta tell you, there's a lot of people down here, and I might be one of them that would listen to seriously. You know, we're not seriously opposed to that. We certainly would listen to that. And so all of a sudden we say, okay, we want to withdraw Texas from the Union. Well, you know, you saw what happened in 1861. The United States would say, wait a minute, you can't do that. And I'm not sure how that would play out. But do you see the similarity? Do you see the analogy? It's the same thing. Nobody would say that the United States was the aggressor because they're trying to keep Texas in the Union.
Right. And isn't that, I mean, look at that situation. Look at how that mirrors different times in history. I've got to tell you, Jim, I've got a Stacy from New England area, Larry from Nevada, Ken from Washington, Don from Kansas. Oh, that's kind of neat. Anyway, all asking, you had mentioned about emails here. You had mentioned about Russia and, of course, how we are seemingly spoiling for a fight with Russia, all saying, you know, you're so good with history, you're so good with the political history as well and geographical history. Ask Mr. Mars what you think about what's the intent here, the larger intent in your view geopolitically. Are we looking at are the powers trying to start a third world war here, or fourth world war, however you want to look at it, or a war, global war, or what's the intent here?
Okay. All right, let me put it this way. And, folks, this is the good news. Here's the good news, okay? You listen to Hagman Hammond, and you listen to other people, and I don't have to background you and inform you on the idea of the New World Order, okay? Whatever you want to call them. There is a clique of people in this world, mostly centered in the 10 to 20 major banks, okay, who want to create their new world order. They want one world global socialism. And the reason they want socialism is because it sounds really good on paper. We'll all be equal, and we'll all share everything equal, and all production and industry and distribution will be centrally controlled by the people. Okay, this is what they sold to the Russians under communism. This is what they've sold to other socialist countries like Venezuela. You can see how well they're doing, okay? And this is what they want because they realize that if you create a worldwide socialist system, that for it to work efficiently, it could only work with central authority. You would have to have a central administration so that they could be equitably and effectively carried out for everybody in the world. And if you create that situation, they know they have the money and the power to gain control over that central authority and therefore run the world, which is one of the oldest, you know, goals in the minds of dictators and tyrants, all the way back to Alexander the Great, and even before that. They want to run the world, all right? And I don't know, first off, I will say this, and I might catch some flack, but I philosophically, I have no real problem with globalism, with the fact that we are one world, because we are, and we are one human race. And in fact, I can see possibly within some of our lifetimes that somebody's going to say, hey, where are you from? And you're going to say, I'm from Earth, okay? Because we all do come from this one little planet, and I'm sure we could all get along if we had reasonable, thoughtful, caring, concerned, educated leaders. But of course, we don't. All right. In fact, what we have is a clique of people who have are working very hard to keep us fighting with each other so that we can't unite and say we're from Earth and we want to all just live and get along peacefully.
At that break again. You know, at that break again, Jim. Hold that thought. And okay. You know, one world system of government would be great under our Lord and Savior, of course.
Yes.
Anything else, anything less wouldn't work, obviously. Interesting email I got from Roger from Wisconsin, who wrote, hey, Doug, I bought The Rise of the Fourth Reich when I heard you were having Jim Mars on. Just finished it. Please tell him. Best book I've read in a long time. Roger from Wisconsin. Message delivered. Our guest, Jim Mars. Jim Mars, that's jimmars.com, M-A-R-R-S. So you know you're striking some chords there, Jim. It's interesting stuff.
Well, the key point is that if we're going to have one worldism, we have to vote on it. Everybody has to agree to it. You know, I don't want it imposed on me.
Amen, brother. Stay right where you're at. Going to be right back for our final segment. Ruled by secrecy, Jim Mars. Rise of the Fourth Reich, Jim Mars. Crossfire, Jim Mars. New York Times bestseller, best-selling author, and Our Occulted History. You know, folks, it's interesting when you read intellectual materials like written by an investigative journalist, Jim Mars. It's interesting to see how much of history has been revised and hidden or occulted from us. And to know the backstory, to know that revised history, or to understand what has been revised, can give you some clarity about current events. And isn't that what we're looking for in terms of the geopolitics of today? Yeah, I think so. We're looking for some clarity. Now, we seek spiritual clarity through the Bible, through the Word of God. But as far as the geopolitical landscape, boy, that could be tricky. It's like a three-dimensional chess game. Who are the good guys? Who are the bad guys? Oh, it's always America that's good. Well, wait a second. There's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Jim Mars makes it pretty clear, breaking down some barriers and exposing what's really going on in his book, Our Occulted History, and even Rule by Secrecy and many others, folks. Take your pick on Amazon.com. Jim Mars, M-A-R-R-S.com, who's been gracious enough to give us his time this evening in this broadcast, 3 hours. That's an incredible gift of time. And show your support, obviously, by investigating further his books and visiting his website. I just thank you, Jim, for being so gracious to appear on our program. You really you're a legend among the within the news community. I mean, you're a legend. You really are. And I don't want to seem like I'm seem like this is false flattery, but I've had so many people who said, "Man, I can't wait till he comes on to hear what he's got to say about this and that." And so here you are.
Yeah, there's so many places we can go, and thank you so much for that. And again, let me give my caveat as usual. Listen, folks, don't believe a word I say, okay? I'm not a politician, okay? And I'm not trying to tell you that, I'm God-ordained or anything else. I'm just an old Texas journalist, but I'm not stupid, and I've had a good education back in the days of the old Republic, and I've traveled around the world, and I know a lot of things. And so just listen. If I make sense, great. If you don't want to believe me, that's okay too, but just go check out what I've been telling you and see if that doesn't prove out. Now what we have to start worrying about is, because I just mentioned before the break how that they are trying to push us into this new world order, this global socialist type system. And keep in mind, socialism runs both ways. The communists were an extreme form of socialist. Well, the Nazis hated the communists. They fought the communists. But wait a minute, what does Nazi stand for? That's the German acronym for National Socialist. Okay? So they were socialist also. So, we have to be very careful about these people who want to try to run the world, because they practice the methods of the old Bavarian Illuminati. And one of their basic precepts was the end justifies the means. All right? And that carried to its logical extreme, you can see what happens. They said, well, we want to rid Germany of certain undesirable people, so we'll just kill them. All right? The end does not always justify the means, and yet that is one of the basic philosophies behind socialism, and that's why we have to be very careful, because we have people who will say anything, practice anything, act like anything, promise anything, profess to be anything, and they're lying. Okay? It's really incredible, and of course it creates a great problem for all of us, and particularly Christians who are trying to live a Christian life. And we try to be honest, and we try to be open and above board with people, and it's hard for us to realize that there are people out there who will lie to you, will tell you anything, will act like they're anything, will promise you anything, and they're lying to you. And now for the good news. The good news is, I think the New World Order people are on the run. They are scared, and I see it all around me. Britain voted to get out of the European Union. That was a kick in the teeth to the New World Order. They didn't expect that. They didn't know that was going to happen. They figured they'd have Cameron and all of their mouthpieces say, well, we don't want that, and people would go along with them. But they didn't. The people rebelled. They said, we're tired of this nonsense. Okay, look at what's happening here in our own political scene. We've got the right wing heading towards Trump. We've got the left wing. I was in California several times this summer, and I've always considered California, a bastion of liberalism. And I thought, well, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to have to come in contact with all these Hillary supporters. No, uh-uh. Everybody I talked, I don't even think one person had anything good to say about Hillary Clinton. They wanted Bernie Sanders. Okay? So, see, even in our own political system, they are jumping from the establishment, from the old ways of doing things, and they're trying to find new ways of bringing true peace and democracy to our country. Now, that's the good news. The bad news is this puts the New World Order on the run, and I'm telling you, they're going to be just like a cornered wild animal. When they feel like that their little providence and their money and their prestige and their power is in danger, they are going to fight back, and it's going to be ugly. And one of the ways they might fight back is by concocting another gigantic false flag, and this time it won't be terrorist from the Middle East or from Asia or somewhere. This time, it very easily could be threats of us of an invasion from space. And if you think that's now back in the 50s when we saw the old movie War of the Worlds, and everybody thought, well, that's cool, but nobody gave a second thought as to that might be really possible. But today, considering the technology that the secretive inner groups of the New World Order have at their disposal, such as holograms. Go on YouTube and look up Elvis Presley with Dion, I believe. And oh, I they had them doing a duet on stage for a TV program. And I swear it looks like there they are. Here's Dion, here's Elvis, and he was a hologram. They have this type of technology. So just think what would happen if all of a sudden there's a figure in the sky and he says, I'm the Lord Enlil and I've come back to take over. I mean, think what kind of havoc that could wreak. And don't think that everything that we have space brothers are going to come save us, because for one thing, I don't, if there are people out there, I don't think they really care much about us. In fact, Stephen Hawking in a recent interview said, well, we can, I'm quoting him, we only have to look at ourselves to see how intelligent life might develop into something we wouldn't want to meet. I imagine they may exist in massive ships, having used up all the resources from their home planet. Such advanced aliens would perhaps become nomads, looking to conquer and colonize whatever planets they can reach. And then he pointed out, you know, what happened when the Western civilization reached North America. It didn't turn out too well for the Native Americans. And interestingly enough, this isn't even a new thought. L. Ron Hubbard, who was a great science fiction writer, I read him back in the 50s and 60s. He was right up there with Isaac Asimov and Arthur C. Clarke, and he wrote the book Battlefield Earth. And what's interesting about Battlefield Earth is that unlike some of the more modern alien invasion stuff like the movie Independence Day and some others where they come down and they blow up the cities and they try to kill everybody, in Battlefield Earth, which takes place in the year 3000, they've already conquered Earth. And they've been here, you know, for thousands of years. And it wasn't that they came to conquer anything. They just, you know, it was the Intergalactic Mining Company that bought the concession to mine the planet Earth with money they borrowed from the intergalactic bankers, okay? There was nothing personal about it. And so they came down here, and they were just strip mining the Earth, basically. And, oh, yeah, there were these pesky little humans that were kind of in the way. So they had to just, you know, pretty much wipe them out. And here was a story, Battlefield Earth, that's 30 years old, and it's really telling us what could very easily happen to us right now today. And I think we need to be cognizant of this, and I think we have to be very careful when we are being told all this stuff. We're being told Russia wants to attack us. I'm sorry, the facts don't seem to bear that out. And we were told that, you know, and so if we're told there's a threat from space, and if you'll remember, Ronald Reagan actually brought that up at the United Nations back in the 80s when he said maybe the countries of the world could band together if there was a threat from space. So now, going back to Doug, to the questions that some of your listeners are asking about why they're causing all this trouble and what are they doing, it goes back to again to Illuminati philosophy, which is the end justifies the means, and one of the things they subscribe to is the dialectic, the philosophy of George Hegel, we call the Hegelian philosophy, which is a outline of human interaction. In other words, Doug, you want to go see one movie, and I don't want to see that movie. I want to see another movie. So we either toss a coin, or we talk it out, or we arm wrestle, or whatever, and we probably come up with movie number C that we can both agree to. All right, Hegel diagrammed this and called it thesis, antithesis, synthesis. All right, the thesis is you want to see movie A. The antithesis said, no, I don't want to see movie A, I want to see movie B. The synthesis is when we say, okay, well, we'll agree and we'll go see movie C. And now this in itself is just kind of an adequate diagram of human interaction. But what the New World Order people have figured out is, why wait for a problem? Because synthesis, antithesis, and synthesis can also be said problem, reaction, solution. So, you know, we see this all the time. Oh, there's a big problem. Well, we got to do this. Well, no, we can't do that. Or, you know, most people don't want that. So then they say, okay, we'll back down a little bit and we'll do this. I saw this in the wake of the Murrah Federal Building bombing in Oklahoma. Okay, problem. We've got terrorists that are trying to, you know, blow up the country. Antithesis reaction is, well, we will pass all these laws against militia. We'll ban all guns. We'll blah, 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 you know. And everybody's going, wait a minute, wait a minute. Then they reach synthesis, which is they don't quite get what they really wanted, but they still got some anti-terrorist legislation, and our liberties got further shredded. It's the old thing about two steps forward, one step back. And we have to understand how they operate, and this is exactly the way they do it. And but there's more of us than there are of them. And if we'll simply become educated to what's really going on and how they operate, then we will not fall for this problem. Gun control is a classic example. They've been trying to ban guns, take guns now for a good number of years, but there's been enough people resisting that it hasn't quite worked, okay? And we need to keep resisting in all areas. And so why are they trying to get in a war with Russia? Why are they causing such disruption in this country? Because they have figured out, in order to make their problem, reaction, solution work, you know, why wait for the problem? We'll create a problem, and then we'll offer a draconian solution. And then when people go, oh, no, don't do that, we'll say, well, okay, we'll do it halfway, and they still get what they want. Okay? So the whole idea today is, see, the biggest stumbling block to the plans of these New World Order people is the United States of America. And why is that? Because we have a tradition of individual liberty and freedom. Two, we have a Constitution and a Bill of Rights which guarantees us legally the right of personal freedom and democracy. And thirdly, we have guns. We we have enough people in this country that we can stand up. If everybody could agree on something, we could stand up and say, no, that's not going to happen, and we can enforce it. This is why they are so desperate to take down the guns, and they are working hard at it, and they are creating the disorder. They're creating the problems. If you'll go back to, I'm not even going to get into 9/11, which was an inside job, okay? I'm sorry, anyone who believes that a Muslim cleric with a laptop computer in a cave in Afghanistan can somehow orchestrate an attack against our $40 billion defense system of the United States of America. Anybody believes that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'll sell you, okay? But we won't even go there. Let's go for every terrorist incident that we've been told about from the shoe bomber on up to this very day. And if you peel back the covers and quit listening to the corporate mass media, you'll find that at the center of every one of those is an FBI informant or an FBI agent or a CIA asset. It's all false flag. For example, this is not conspiracy theory. This is absolute fact. The 1993 bombing of the North Tower of the World Trade Center, this was because of the FBI. What we now know and what came out under oath in court was that the FBI had an informant, a former Egyptian army officer working for the FBI, who was on the inside, who helped instigate and help set up the whole bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993, and then told his FBI superiors, look, you know, this is starting to get real, and this is going to be dangerous. I think I can substitute fake explosives for real explosives, and then we'll catch them in the act, but there won't be any damage. And the FBI superiors said, no, let it go forward. And go back and look at the damage and the casualties in the 1993 sure. bombing of the North Tower, yep. and that was due to our own FBI. So, people,
that's right.
We've got yep. to get on top of the truth.
Amen. And you know what, Jim? I'll share this with you. I don't think I shared this with you off air, but we had the Northeast Intelligence Network when it was operational, and working as an operational asset for the Department of Justice and the FBI. And I've got a letter to prove that we were accepted by the FBI for domestic and foreign intelligence cultivating information about this. One of our best analysts who infiltrated the Arabic language chat room said, Doug, we have to stop. I can't do this anymore. I cannot tell the good guys from the bad. There are so many FBI or CIA agents in these chat rooms. I can't tell one from another. I can't tell the CIA agent from the real terrorist, and that's a problem. And just so you hit it out of the park on that one, Jim. You really did.
Well, it's absolutely true. Not long back, I was talking with a fellow who was in the military and had been a sniper over in Afghanistan. And make a long story short, he told me they put him up on a mountaintop and told him to shoot anybody that came through this pass, this mountain pass, he said, except the drug caravans. Leave them alone.
Yeah.
Okay? So we're over there protecting the drug caravans because
yes.
drugs are a big money-making commodity, and it's all a deal. And by the way, again, I am not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I'm for truth. But the truth is that Hillary Clinton and Obama collectively, singularly and collectively, have taken steps to ensure the creation and the ongoing problem with ISIS. Okay? I'll even give you a date. Go check it out. September the 13th, 2013, Obama announced that he was abrogating United States laws that prohibited the sale of arms to known terrorist groups. because he wanted to sell arms and sell arms and send arms to the Syrian rebels so they could overthrow Assad in Syria, who, I don't know the man, he may be a total tyrant, but he was elected. He was the leader of that sovereign nation, and we're sending arms and ammunition to people who wanted to overthrow him. And, of course, they immediately turned into ISIS. Where do you think ISIS is getting all these missiles? Where and what was the whole real purpose behind the deaths at Benghazi? Because they would stumble across the arms dealing that was going on and fixing to blow the whistle. So they not only allowed but orchestrated the attack on Benghazi, which killed our ambassador Stevens and his military guards. And Hillary was the first one to stand up and say, well, that was a spontaneous action due to some video, which of course is just simply not true.
You're exactly right. Jim, we've reached virtually the end of the program. We have some housekeeping to take care of before we cut you loose. We got about 2 minutes left. Go ahead and close us out in 2 minutes here, brother. If we can. I mean.
Oh, boy. That's like saying, I got 2 minutes. Tell me everything you know.
That's not fair. I don't mean that. That's not fair.
No, but I'll tell you what. There's more of us than there are them. There's good people in this country. They've even got Christians fighting amongst themselves. Let's let that go. Let's see if we can put the Christians all together. And you know what? I grew up with a lot of Jewish kids. I have no problem with Jews. Let's start working with the Jews. I have no problem with the Buddhist. Everybody I met that was a Buddhist, I may kind of roll my eyes and go, man, I don't know about some of that stuff. But hey, they're peaceable, loving people, and they all are. Now, the only real problem we have when it comes to religion is the Muslims, because they are indoctrinated and taught from childhood to kill anyone who doesn't believe the way they believe. So we got a problem there. But I also understand that there are plenty of good Muslims in this country. What we have to do now is we have to go back and quit being divided and conquered and quit fighting with amongst ourselves and being torn apart by all of these sometimes spurious issues like stem cell research, cloning, abortion. You know, yes, these are all issues, and yes, there are dissension and there's controversies, but let's just all agree to disagree, and let's do it without being disagreeable, and let's turn let's get united like we did in World War II when the President of the United States came on radio and said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, and we're going to roll up our sleeves, and we're going to take care of the problems that's facing us today from the Nazis and from the imperialistic Japanese. And we did. And our grandfathers and grandmothers, they worked their little tails off. They went to church. They took care of business. And we could do it today, folks, if you'll turn off your television, quit listening to the Tavistock indoctrination that they're putting on us, where they're keeping us fighting tooth and toenail on all kinds of issues, you know, religion, race, sex, you name it. And let's just go back to being Americans, okay?
Strong close, Jim. God bless you, my friend. I want to thank you and thank your wife for a gracious gift of 3 hours. And I know it's rough when you block out that length of time.
She was a little put out that I said I don't have time to eat your supper right now.
you almost got me
in trouble.
Well, hey, thank your wife for us. And Jim, thank you. I hope you'll come back again sometime. Thank you so much for your great gift of time. God bless you, my friend. JimMars.com, Our Occulted History, numerous other books. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure.
All right, man.
Good night.
All right. Good night, sir. Folks, Monday, we are having a very special guest on Monday. Listen to this now. I had spent a lot. I had spent some time today, and I want to thank JD for setting this up, or helping me set this up. Lieutenant Colonel Saris Sangari, commander of the Assyrian Christian Army. Did you hear what I just said? I spoke with Lieutenant Colonel Saris Sangari, the commander of the Assyrian Christian Army today. He's going to be joining us along with two other individuals related to that initiative on Monday, giving us a ground report of what's taking place in Syria. After my discussion with him today, understand one thing. Genocide, Christian genocide, at the hands of ISIS, at the hands of the Muslims, with the assistance, full assistance, of Obama and Clinton. And yes, the CIA, the apparatus, the intelligence apparatus, and the paramilitary and military apparatus. Don't miss Monday. Don't. True Christians out there pleading to be heard. The Lieutenant Colonel of the Assyrian Christian Army in Syria. And if my 20-minute conversation with him today, if that is reflective of what he's going to be telling us on Monday, buckle up and tell everyone about Monday. I mean, you talk about, it's incredible. His information is incredible. That's coming up on Monday. Also next week, Patrick Wood and Chuck Baldwin next week as well. And so folks, make sure you tell others about the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to say a special hello to my wife's niece. Did I say that right? Liz and her husband, Jason. Jason's been a very huge asset to the Hagman Report and to some other initiatives that we're doing that I can't really talk about right now. I want to thank each and every one of you for listening, for tuning in, for supporting our show. Thank you so much for being supportive of us. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your kindness. Pray for Pastor Paul Begley. Pray for us. Folks, saddle for battle. And thank you, JD. Thank you, Eric the Tech. Just want to say God bless everybody. Anything that does happen of any consequence, tune in to the Hagman and Hagman Report over the weekend. I intend to be doing some videos as well. Until next time, God bless, stay safe. Saddled for battle, we've left the building.